Spirit. How can this be? How can these things be? What Nicodemus doesn't say is be true. How can these things you are telling me possibly be real and true? Because I don't understand. Nicodemus is struggling to open himself enough to encounter this man, Jesus, and follow him in some way. But it doesn't make sense based on everything he already knows about how to be faithful, how to be a Pharisee, which basically is like someone who's taken vows in an order, a holy order, to follow certain practices and practice their faith in a very, very intentional way. There's nothing wrong with Pharisees. They're basically like clergy. They get it wrong all the time, and they struggle, and this Pharisee is struggling. It reminds me of that when I was young, I mean little, I loved the stars and the solar system and space. I wanted to be an astronaut. I never wanted to be a firefighter. I wanted to be an astronaut. And I knew I had this map in my bedroom, and it showed the solar system and where everything was, and that was it. And I understood it. And I don't remember when this happened, but at some point, someone said, you know, it's not really like that. There's more out there than that. You just can't see it. Now, I don't remember when this happened. I'm making this part up, but I imagine I said, you're stupid. I've got a map and it shows. This is how it is. Or if I trusted that person, if I had a relationship with that person and believed in them, not believed what they said, believed in them. If I had a relationship with that person, whether it was a teacher or my father or mother, and they told me it's not quite like this, it's bigger. It's more than you can understand with this right now. There's more there. If I had a relationship, then I probably said, I don't understand it, but it must be true. Nicodemus is stuck in what he understands and what he knows that he knows. But he is daring enough to go to Jesus in the cover of darkness because he is afraid of what his companions might say about him or think about him as being unfaithful if they know he's having a conversation with Jesus. So he goes. And Jesus tells him the truth. You have to be born from above. Now the word that, this gets geeky for a moment, but the word that Jesus uses in the scriptures, not English, but in Aramaic, has three meanings. From above, again, and a third one that I don't remember. But this is where Christians get born again. This is the passage where you're born again. But our scripture says born from above. Both translations are correct. What's interesting is Nicodemus can only hear it in one way. Because to be born from above makes no sense to his way of understanding the world. It makes more sense to ask, do I go back into my mother's womb? That somehow makes more sense than God's Spirit making you a new person because of your new relationship with the living God. It's that hard and that radical, that different. How can this be? And I bet you have thought that yourself many, many times. I have. I remember 10 years ago, or more, 15 years ago, I guess, time does move on, sitting in a pew in Montgomery, Alabama, about where Susan is. That was my pew. And going through the Eucharist and saying, I don't believe this. This is too strange and hard. I love being here with these people, but there's a whole lot here I don't get. But I had a relationship with the priest, the rector. I thought, Robert Wisniewski is absolutely the smartest man I have ever met, and he appears to be faithful, and he loves me, and I trust him, and so there must be something I can't see yet. And I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go through it, through my doubt, and make a journey. And you're on a journey. And we're going to go together. And we're going to have a relationship. And there are people that you can trust and that you can meet with and say, I don't understand this. How can this be? Because the people of God have faith. Not certainty. They have love and they have trust. This little piece of John 3:16 may be the most famous of all gospel verses in the New Testament. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Most of us hear that and we think, gave his only begotten son to be crucified. That's horrible. But the giving of the son is to be incarnated into the world. God gave God's self to be a part of the world, to bring the world back into full relationship with God. What happened after that is part of our story, but it's not the only part of the story. So this is a little bit of a cheap tactic that I'm going to dive into. I'm teaching a class, and George is teaching a class. I wouldn't say we're teaching so much as just facilitating classes. The book that George has got, Speaking Christian, there must be at least five different short little two and five page chapters that deal just with that verse, John 3:16. And he talks about what is believing and what is faith. And I learned something. That the root of believing is beloved. But the meaning of believing changed about 500 years ago, but all before that it meant beloved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who believe, that all who beloved him may be saved and have everlasting life. That to love Jesus doesn't mean to believe a bunch of facts. Facts never converted anyone. Love converts people. Love converts people. So the cheap trick is, I would like for you to take the last book on the table, stick your nose into it. I doubt you'll be able to finish it, put it down. It's a super easy read, but we're in Lent. We're on a journey together. You don't have to know everything. But you do need to trust that there are people who love you, that God is trying to bring you into a deeper relationship, and that we're going to go there together. Amen.